Blog
Talk Radio. Hello, this is 050 on the radio, and this is October 6th, 2016. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We are jam-packed today. I'm not even going to have too much of an opening because we got to get it going, but the fact of the matter is we're going to talk about baseball today. Got to talk about baseball. It's that time of year, and talk about the NFL preview this weekend's action. But let's go immediately to baseball. How about the Blue Jays? I didn't even get my chance to say that I think they're going to win the series going away in 4 games. I didn't even get to say it. Why? They've already started in Texas and Toronto blitz Cole Hamill. It is 7-0 in the top of the fourth. They are laying the wood to Texas. First game. That's exactly what I thought they would do. I think they might even win 2 in Texas. I think Toronto's going to roll this series over the Texas Rangers. And I don't even think the Cleveland Indians are going to have that much better on their side. I think the pitching battle tonight is Rick Porcello against Mr. Trevor Bauer, and I think the Red Sox will also win this in 4 games. Nothing personal. I just don't think that the Indians have their pieces together the way they have throughout the season. Won't have Salazar up over there. They're going to struggle in that aspect, and they're going to have to find a way to hold off the Red Sox bats. That's how they're going to do it with the pitching. I mean, they have pitching there, but they don't have their big guns there. They're going to have to do it with their fourth and fifth starters, the Josh Tomlin, and so on and so forth. I don't think that's going to work. I think the Red Sox are going to work them over. So I have both the road team winning. In the National League, you know I was happy after last night, but we're talking about them last. Next one, we're talking about the Dodgers and the Nationals. Now, this is no hate whatsoever, but I believe the Nationals win it in 5. I think this is going to be one of them classic series for the simple fact that we don't know what the Nationals are going to be bringing to the table. We have no idea right now. Now, all the injuries they have, we know Strasburg won't be there. We know Wilson Ramos won't be there. That's fine and dandy. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know the status of Daniel Murphy. We don't know the status of Bryce Harper. We haven't seen them the last 2 weeks. We don't know if they're ready to go or not. But the fact of the matter is, here's the deal. Nationals, they still got Trey Turner. He might be the most important player in the series. He's a rookie. Remember, he would be right with Corey Sager if he had enough games. He had 342 this year. Thus, the Nationals, they're going to be something to deal with. But you know the Dodgers, they're resilient. They hung in there. They got Kershaw in Game 1. To me, that's the biggest game of the series. If the Dodgers somehow find a way to win it, then the Nationals are in trouble because they cannot have Scherzer go behind the eight ball in this series, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I think the Nationals are going to win in 5. Oh, I can't even predict this one because this is my Giants. Oh, this is must-see baseball watching. Giants at Cubs, you know the deal. It is not going to have the allure of Red Sox Yankees, but it might as well because you got the big-time champion, the most clutch team in the last 6 years, going up against the Cubs, the best team in baseball this year, but they got the curse on their back. Oh, this is going to be must-see TV. You saw my man Madison Bumgarner do his thing last night. Ooh-wee. 9 innings. Then there's a shutout ball. They gave him 4 hits. And you notice that I love more than anything. The last 24 times he has seen someone up with runners in scoring position, they are 0-24. That is simply ridiculous. No one does that. But he did. I'm not going to predict the Giants-Cubs series because you know I'm biased on that one. But the fact of the matter is, like I said, in the American League, I have both the road teams winning, and the Blue Jays are making me look good early. In the NFL. My. I did not think this game on Thursday night would even be a matchup. The Cardinals versus the 49ers. I didn't even think this was going to even be worth watching a quarter. I thought this was going to be Yawn City. That's why they play the games. Arizona's 1-3. 1-3. 1-3. People talking about them going to the Super Bowl. No. Not this team. They have been struggling and struggling bad. They're right with San Francisco, who's also 1-3. They're battling to see who's not going to be in last place. The Arizona Cardinals in last place in week 5. It could happen. If they lose tonight, they would be 1-4 in last place. Unreal. Real right now, the Cardinals, they don't have Carson Palmer. They're going to have to go with Drew Stanton. It might be must-see. The only thing is, 49ers, they're so injured. Navarro Bowman, he's out for the season. Chris Johnson, he's out for the season. DeForest Buckner is going to be out for the game. Don't know how they're going to hold them off on the defensive end. Look, Carlos Hyde, he's leading the league in rushing touchdowns, if I remember correctly, with five. But you really got to the Cardinals, they're going to have to find a way to get in the end zone. David Johnson, he's the number one dude in all of football from yards from scrimmage, but the fact of the matter is they don't have a passing attack, right? Not with Drew Stanton. Oh, no, that's not going to work for them on Sunday. Ooh, matchup I always like seeing. The Battle of the Beltway. Actually, it's not really the Battle of the Beltway. That's what they say. It's the Battle of 295. That's right, 295. 295, 5, 5. You start in Baltimore from BB&T Stadium, and you keep on going straight down, and you run right. And you go right, you take 295, veer off of 95, and you veer off of 295, hit 95, and then you'll be right in front of the FedEx Field. Are going to go after. They got to. The fact of the matter is both of them have lost games they thought they should have won. Now, the Ravens are 3-1. There's a little bit of a difference there. The Skins, they're 2-2. They need to beat a good team. They haven't done it. Not yet. This will be a good start to getting it going. This is going to be interesting. Their rush defense have been terrible, to say the least. Giving up almost 5 yards per carry. That's 30th in the league. They have been dreadful. Well, even worse, third down efficiency. They are allowing 57%. No one's even allowing 50%. We're talking about 57% for the Skins defense. They've been dreadful in that aspect for going against them. And we'll see how the Ravens do it. They're going to run the ball with Terrence West. Kenneth Dixon, their rookie, he should be healthy. They're going to run him too. I'd be running the ball like Oklahoma in the 80s. And we might even run some wishbone if it was me going up against the Skins. And I tell you that. Meanwhile, in Oakland, the Raiders, they're 3-1. They're taking care of business. Don't know how they're doing it, but they're taking care of business. What do you mean you don't know how they're doing it? Oh, you know how. Worst defense yards-wise in the league. They're giving up 460 yards per game. Game worse in the NFL. Ouch. And they have an offense coming at them. Hey, they're pretty good. They just can't hold leads. Chargers, they've blown 3 leads in the last 5 minutes. That's been their issue. They have been solid until the last 5 minutes. Phillip Rivers, he's been solid this year. Melvin Gordon hasn't been solid this year running the football, but in terms of scoring, he's been getting in the end zone more than anybody else. He has six. The Raiders is real. Derek Carr, I mean, yo, right now, I defy anybody finding anybody playing better than he is. I mean, maybe Ben Roethlisberger, maybe. Not with that Philadelphia Eagle game. I can't even give him that. And then you got Michael Crabtree. Holy mackerel. He is getting it done. People forget Amari Cooper. He hadn't even caught a touchdown this year because Crabtree is catching all of them. Of putting on a show over in Cleveland. Rams 0-4. Might as well chalk up 0-5 because they're playing the Patriots. Forget that part. He's bad. Mr. Brady is coming back to see what they're going to be doing in Cleveland. Let's see if he can get Rob Gronkowski going. Hadn't been able to get it going yet. Getting, how about both of these teams, huh? They both had to use three quarterbacks. Well, this tells you how solid the foundation of the franchise are because they both had to start rookie quarterback Jacoby Brissett for the Patriots. He started two games. Cody Kessler for the Browns, he started two games. And the fact of the matter is, 3-1, the Browns, they're 0-4. Yes, that difference right there. There, we don't have to talk about that too much more, do we? Of course not. Meanwhile, in Detroit, is there a better story right now than the Philadelphia Eagles? I don't know if there's a better story in all of football. They are 3-0. They got a rookie head coach, Doug Peterson, former quarterback who was there for a while. Well, they are outscoring their opponent 92-27. They are thundering their opponents, including the Steelers 30. I'm still stuck on the 34-3. I'm sorry. I understand they beat down the Browns. I understand they beat down the Bears. But 34-3 on the Steelers? Are you serious? That still has my attention like, whoa. And Carson Wentz, he's just doing his thing, completing 64.7% of his passes, no interceptions, 5 touchdowns. And in this game, watch out. Here comes Ryan Matthews. He'll be back. Zach Ertz, he'll be back. Back for the Lions, I don't even know what to say right now. Now, Matthew Stafford, he's been playing well, actually. But the fact of the matter is, they've had people who come up ghost. Yeah, Marvin Jones been balling, but where's Golden Tate? He had one catch last week. One. Okay. Golden Tate was one catch. Not going to get it done. Then they really have to come up here, the Lions, and get their offense going. Only had 10 points last week. They're not beating anybody with 10 points. But it doesn't matter how good your defense is going. What about the big-time game in Minnesota? Did anybody see this, read this? And nobody's really talking about it. Houston Texans, 3-1, going into Minnesota, 4-0. No, both of them with big-time defenses and both of them without their best players on the team. That's right. Houston, they won't have J.J. Watt on the field. Minnesota, they won't have Adrian Peterson on the field. Okay. See, how is this going to work? Well, this is real simple. Sam Bradford, ever since he's gone to Minnesota, he has been big time. They still had a running game going on over there. McKinnon's playing decent, key person. Stephon Diggs. He ain't Randy Moss, but I can't remember a wide receiver in Minnesota who's been nearly as effective as fast. He has come out the box balling, and people better watch out. Out the Vikings, they're really playing well. 4-0, no, against the 3-1 Texans. What about in Denver? You got the Falcons. Holy mackerel. They have been a scoring machine going up against the undefeated Broncos. How are they still undefeated? The Falcons, they have the number one offense, number one passing attack all of football. 354.2 yards per game last week. They had the first quarterback wide receiver combo to go for 500 yards passing, Matt Ryan, and 300 yards receiving, Julio Jones, first in the history of the NFL for that to happen. I don't know if that's going to happen too many more times. That is unreal if you think about it. And big time performance by the Falcons offense, but the Bronco defense, they have been ridiculous. The two corners, Aqib Talib and Gary Harris, been unbelievable. We'll better see what's going on with Talib in terms of his health status, and supposedly he shot himself. So this week, pretty much think he's going to be out this game. But then again, you have the leading sack man in the league, Von Miller. I don't even know how he's doing it. He's been himself. He still has 5.5 sacks during the season. Big time. But I have the number two passer defense in all of the NFL. What about what's going on in Dallas? Man, they got a resurgence. Here come the Cowboys. They're 3-1. But what about the Cincinnati Bengals? Has anybody remember that team? Remember them? 2-2. They're going into Dallas. This is a big-time game. How are you going to react? What's the pressure going to be like? We know you got the big-time defense, but they're all dudes that play on the edge. Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, Vontaze Burfict. When they're together as a team, they are unbelievable talents, and they get it done. But when they sever off and become individuals, that's when bad stuff happens to the Bengals. Let's see what happens on Sunday when they see the leading rusher in the league right now. That's right, Ezekiel Elliott. Ouch! Yeah, I didn't know that was going on, right? Right? Then you have Dak Prescott, who's been so cool under pressure. No Dez Bryant, but hey, you're looking at a team right now. They are confident they can get it done. Bengals got to do better on the rush offense because you know Elliott's coming 28th. I'm talking rush offense. They have 28th rush offense. They want to get the rush offense going so they don't have to totally commit to Andy Dalton throwing the ball all over the place. Please. The Monday night game, another one. Never thought I would be talking about this game like this. Are you serious? I thought these dudes would be vying for the lead in the division. Not only are they not vying for the lead, this is for last place. The Buccaneers, 1-3. The Panthers, 1-3. Whoa, that's right. Right, and the fact of the matter is, Cam Newton got a concussion last week. We don't know if he's going to be ready for the game or not. If he's not, Eric Anderson will go again. The fact of the matter is, for the Buccaneers, you know you got Jameis Winston out here. What about Mike Evans? Mike Evans is killing out there. I think he's the only wide receiver in the top 10 in yards, in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. That's a good trifecta. Look out. I really think that this game is going to be a turning point for one of the teams this year, because whoever wins, they're not that bad. 2-3 isn't that bad. You go on a little run, and then boom, you can do some things. You go 1-4. You're looking at things altogether differently. All right, let's go to college football, and we're going to start with the Red River Rivalry. I hope my son gets a chance to go to this thing. Holy mackerel. He would be in for a treat because there's going to be so much emotion in this game, even more than normal. That's right, because you got two coaches. Somehow they're on the hot seat. We know Charlie Strong's on the hot seat, but Bob Stoops? All right, don't know what happened there. Just fell off here. Don't know what went on right there. I apologize for the delay. We were talking about Texas, Oklahoma, motion that's going to be going on in this game. Charlie Strong, he's faced headlines about he's going to be fired. Now you got Bob Stoops, who's supposedly catching heat from the Oklahoma following. When it should be real big time here, Strong for the losses to Cal and Oklahoma State. He comes up, he fires the defensive coordinator. Now he'll be calling the defense. You better call the defense. 116th in scoring defense. How is that? First time in Texas history, three of their first four opponents scored 45 or more points. Are you kidding me? Who in the world? This team, they looked good defensively last year. Boy, they falling off. Remember, the Sooners, they are looking for revenge from last year. They can't even believe they lost to Texas last year. They are going to be out for revenge right up the road at the Naval Academy. The Houston Cougars are coming to town to play Navy. Hey, Greg Ward, he's been simply sensational, you know, all year long. Now with his passing ability to go with his running ability, he and Lamar Jackson, they are just simply sensational to watch on a game-by-game basis. But let's talk about something that no one is talking about when it comes to the Houston Cougars. Houston Cougars, right now, they're number one against the rush. 42 yards per game. That's what they're doing. Look here. You got one of the best linebackers in the country, is Stephen Taylor. Taylor, big-time sack man. And then you got the safe sophomore safety, Garrett Davis over there. Oh, this is Navy. Navy runs the triple option. And now they come up, they have Will Worth out there running the deal. The backup quarterback, he's running the deal, and he's played very well. The offense has been rushing for 251.5 yards per game. They've been getting the deal done. But the fact is, here we go. So pressure is on to see if you can perform against the big-time Cougars. In College Station, Tennessee coming to town to play A&M. Two top 10 teams. What about Tennessee? They won 11 straight games. How about your boy Joshua Hobbs? 13 touchdown passes, 5 touchdown runs. He's been getting it done. And the funny thing about A&M, they haven't done it the normal way. That's right. If you look at Trevor Knight, he hasn't been playing that well. He completed less than 55% of his passes. They have been running the ball very well. How about this? A&M going for 6-0. For the first time, boy, you remember them teams back then, the Wheeling McElroy and all them boys back then they used to set it on fire. In Chapel Hill, Virginia Tech coming to town. Oh, Nelly, no one's talking about him, but they better start Jared Evans. He is a beast. JC signing for the Tech. He is putting up 290 yards of total offense per game. He has simply been sensational, but it's been Bud Foster and his defense. They're number 9 in total defense, giving up less than 265 yards per game. That's going to be the telltale sign, because you got Mr. Trubisky. Holy mackerel, his numbers are unbelievable. How about completing 76% of his passes in his last 240 attempts? What about your boy Ryan Switzer? He's caught 47 passes already this season. In the last two games, he's caught 31. He's been unbelievable. That game should be big time. Colorado, they're ranked, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to Southern Cal. They're playing USC. This should be a big one. First time Colorado is ranked since 2005. And here comes, they have a quarterback controversy. See, Seth LaFleur, he got hurt. Steven Montez comes in, does work. Who are you going to put in? Who are you going to call? We don't know all that, but the fact of the matter is it should be interesting either way. USC, you know, they've been struggling all. They were struggling all season. They put Sam Darnold in. Next thing you know, they threw a 41 against Arizona State. Watch out. Watch out. All they need to do is see the light over there in Trojan country, and then they can take off. They still got athletes left and right on that campus. Do not sleep on them at all. Alabama at Arkansas. Man, this is going to be interesting. You come up here, you have Mr. Saban and doing his thing. But look here. Brett Bielema is not one to sneeze at. He does not mind going up against the big dogs. And he has let people know he is not afraid to go up against the big dogs. And it's a, you know, it's a four-game stretch tournament Alabama season. This is the start of it. And look here, you got two quarterbacks. They've been playing really well in Hurts and Allen. Defense is going to have to come through, but you know whose defense. You just say, yeesh, yeesh, oof. Yeah, they're still bruising over there for a Crimson Tide. But that should be a good one. Hey, Florida State and Miami. Oh, my. Florida State, they're 23rd. Miami, they're 14th. I don't even know what to – well, excuse me, 16th. I don't even know what to say about that one. I mean, my goodness, what do we do with such stuff? Florida State, boy, they've been struggling. I mean, really been struggling. Now, let me mess around there, clarify. Let me actually say this beforehand. Man, the hurricane could push this back or move this up. We don't know how that's going to really do it. But the fact is, this is going to be a big one. Big one. We don't know if it's just going to be rain. We don't know if hurricane is going to leave on its wake or anything like that. But it should be interesting either way. Hey, Miami, they don't mind either way. They've been running the ball left and right. Right. Mark Walton and Joseph Yearby. And you come up here, Brad Kaya. Hey, he's completing his pass at 66%, throwing 8 touchdowns against 3 interceptions. Most of them was early on. He's starting to get it done. But, hey, their defense has been a concern, giving up over 35 points a game, 438 yards. Oh, what are they doing? I don't even remember the last time the Seminoles were like that. Then, over in Stanford, you come up here. Stanford has won 3 of the last 4 Pac-12 championships. They're going to have to bring it, and they're going to have to start now against Washington State. Christian McCaffrey, he has not been able to get it done because, hey, they haven't had a passing attack. Ryan Burns is going to have to get it done. You know what I've said. Keller Chris got to come in there. I don't believe Burns can get it done, but, hey, we'll see what happens. Washington State, they just been scoring left and right. You know how Mark Leach does it. Luke Folks, one of the real accurate passes in the country. Whew! Okay, we got by. We got it done. Monday, we're going to do baseball, football like we always do. Until then, toodaloo, and bye-bye.